The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. In the previous episode, we met up with a lady who seemed to be tied up somehow in some Zathramorian stuff, which has broke her mind, as Zathramorian stuff tends to do. And for some inexplicable reason that probably makes perfect sense to her, and may make sense to us in time, she's been handing us these green fragments. We don't know how many fragments there will be in total, and we don't know what they'll do. But we're going to keep bumping into her until we get all of them, and then maybe something will happen. But anyway, I've just been wandering around Twithick looking for her, and I've just gone to Binevere's shop. This is the shop where you can buy the Hellblade and where you can sell the Cup of Zarafil after you win it in the Thane's Tournament of Arms. Anyway, we have a suddenly, which means something exciting is happening. And I suspect, based on the section numbers, that it's linked to the whole green fragment stuff. But anyway. As you stride up to the shop, you suddenly catch sight of a young woman you've twice before encountered, lurking at the mouth of a nearby alley. You immediately approach her, and she smiles as you draw near. Blowing back some of the tangled locks of black hair that hang over her eyes. "They're looking for me," she says, her eyes wildly darting around. "It's not enough they're taking everything from me. They think I won't ever be able to. But they're wrong. I'm stronger than I know, even if I don't quite believe it myself these days. Here, I've another one for you." She rummages through her pockets and begins to slowly nod. "This is it. This is the one. Just the one. Here we are now. Let's see this." The young woman draws a small, jagged piece of green stone from her pocket and holds it up, inspecting it with one eye closed. "This is another one for you," she asks, nodding. I can still think straight enough to make sure you get this. No one else would do. But where does it all end? I pray not in folly." She hands you the stone, firmly pressing the piece into your hand. "This is a green stone fragment. Same description." I'll read the description again. "These small, jagged green stone fragments have dangerously sharp edges. Please take care while handling them. You need to collect all the fragments to see what can be assembled from them. How many fragments are there to be found? Even the very wise cannot say."
"All right. But maybe this is all we need?"
No, I know it isn't. I know there's at least a fifth one. You again ask the young woman her name, but she only smiles and shakes her head in reply. Dreams are the key to all of this, she says, nodding. The broken path must be followed, even to ruin. I can't think straight about such things right now. Perhaps not ever again. You can help me, but the time grows short. You will help me. I will again find you. Before you can say another word, she turns and hustles off along the street, passing swiftly out of sight. Still baffled by the words and actions of the strange, though obviously distressed, young woman, you place the jagged shard of stone safely in amongst your belongings. Then, confident you will again cross paths with her somewhere in the city, you set off on your way, your eyes and ears alert as you navigate the twisting, perilous streets of the Adderstone. Okay? Now, I'm just going to pause until I find her again. Alright, something has turned up. I've been exploring the stables outside Twythick, where presumably you can leave your horse after you've rode a long way to the Twythick, and then when you're done with your business in the city, it will be well rested and you'll be able to ride out again. Or something like that. Or maybe swap it for a fresh horse, if you're an official courier. You suddenly catch sight of a diminutive, furtive figure slinking up on your left, and turn to once again find yourself face to face with the young woman who's given you the four green stones. Haven't we met somewhere before? She asks, running her fingers through a thick tangle of her dark, matted locks. I almost remember your face, but I can't tell if that's good or bad. Perhaps it just is. Oh, if only I could keep my thoughts straight. A jumble they are, you know. Terrible jumble. The young woman gasps, and a look of fear spreads across her grime-streaked face. She frantically rummages through her pockets before suddenly pointing to the ground at her feet. Following her finger, your eyes come to rest on another of the small, jagged green stone fragments lying in the dirt. There! We have it! Almost lost! Almost forever gone! She shrieks, lunging down to pick up the stone. I've got it! No fear! I've got it! And now, you'll have it. There! Take it! Take it! She steps forward and thrusts the stone into your hand, pressing it firmly into your palm. Now that's greenstone fragment number 5. You again ask the woman her name, and for the first time she hesitates several long moments before finally replying with Aleriel. Then, in a blink of an eye, her demeanour changes from friendly to enraged, and she loudly curses, directing much of profanity at you. You tricked me, but I won't fall for it a second time, she snaps, her jaw clenching and her eyes blazing. Tell me how you know my name and I'll forgive you. I told you, Slyker's nodded, I suppose. Fair play. We may meet again. Without another word, she turns and scurries off along the lane, leading away from the stables, and swiftly passes out of sight. After securing the green stone in amongst your belongings, you prepare to set off on your way, wondering when and where you'll next encounter the young woman. And what purpose is attached to the jagged pieces of green stone you now possess? Alright, that's it for now. Looks like these 5 fragments are all that's in the game for now. Looks like this adventure has just been forgotten, or maybe it only makes sense if it happened. Getting the 6th one only makes sense if you do something that's not in the game yet. Well, we'll see. Anyhow, back sort of feel silly breaking off the previous adventure at the 50-minute mark when we could have just squeezed those last two in under an hour. Oh, well. Anyway, back to Trithic. I'm going to pause while I look for... I think there's one more thing to find. One more mini-adventure to find. I'm at a guard... I've gone to a guard post near our flanking Blade Square. In your conversation with the guardsman, you learn he's a soldier who works for a man named Kedin. Apparently, Kedin is the leader of a band of mercenaries who have recently been hired by Thane Porrind and become part of the Thane's private army. "We now owe our allegiance to the Thane," says the guardsman. "My first allegiance is to Ken. Ask to speak with Kenin." The guardsman looks you over inquisitively upon hearing your request. He tells you to wait by the gate, and he enters the guard tower. A few moments later, he re-emerges and opens the gates, allowing you inside. "Kedin will see you for a few moments," he says, leading you up to the guard tower and throwing open the large wooden door. You step inside and find yourself standing in a plain, very plain room, with a short table at the very centre. Seated at a table is a tall man with wavy black hair and an unshaven face. He looks up as you enter and motions for the door to be closed. The guard who escorted you closes the door, leaving you alone in the room with the seated man. "I'm Kedin," he says, studying you closely. "What is it you want?" You have a feeling that Kedin probably deals with countless numbers of people each day. "Okay, so I'm not just going to engage him in conversation. He doesn't have time for that. Let's just get to the point. Ask to become a member of Kedin's troops." You introduce yourself to Kedin and state your request. Kedin looks you over very carefully. Upon hearing your request, slowly he begins to nod. "You might have what it takes, Sir Crokerton," he says, rising from the table and placing both hands on his hips. "But I don't need any more of what I already got. What I could use is someone to carry out some special tasks for me. The kind of task that a guardsman's get-up isn't suited for. Are you interested in something along those lines? Well, let's find out what he's talking for." Kedin tells you he has need of someone to run some special errands for the city. He chose the person he chooses for the post will report directly to him, and no one else. "The things that I need done could get pretty rough," he warns you. "I need to make sure you're up for the task first." Kedin explains that he and his men have signed on with Thane Porrind for as long as his services are deemed necessary to control and hopefully eradicate the growing criminal element within Trithic's walls. "If you found to be worthy, the tasks I give you must be carried out exactly as prescribed," says Kedin. "I will pay you myself, for I will not give you any information regarding their circumstance. Not be able to give you any information regarding their circumstances, other than that which you require to see them through to completion. So what say you?" So, I'm interested. Kedin nods grimly. He turns and proceeds down a steep flight of steps at the back of the chamber. He motions for you to follow him. You descend the stairs right behind the mercenary commander and find yourself standing in a large underground room with a high ceiling. A couple of Kedin's men are seated against a far wall, repairing several pieces of armour. Both of the men leap to their feet and stand at attention as Kedin enters the chamber. "Step. Test the mettle of Sir Crokington here," says Kedin, as he takes up a position in one corner of the room. A muscular man in level armour steps towards you and nods. Then, without warning, he unsheaths a short sword and rushes at you. You are now locked in combat with Step, one of Kedin's prized warriors. This is not a battle to the death. Kedin is attempting to determine your combat ability. Alright, I'm fighting Step. This is a non-lethal combat. I'm squeaking my club in a nice, non-lethal way. And I go into a non-lethal battle wage. And he is defeated. 2 XP. Kedin nods his approval. Step crashes to the floor under a fury of well-placed blows. Step concedes defeat, and you reach down and hope the large warrior regain his feet. Oh, well, I'm not sure how I'm doing that, but maybe a bit of the old side shifting for Sir Grokington. Nice work, smiles Step, as he proceeds to dust himself off. Kedin also congratulates you on a good fight, and instructs you to follow him from the chamber. Bidding farewell to Steb, you follow. You turn and follow Kedin upstairs. Any sternal points you lost during the combat have been restored. I don't think any were lost, but if any were lost, they're back. Kedin leads you to the top floor of the guard tower and closes both the door by which you entered and a hatch leading to the roof. He is silent for a moment and then begins to speak, keeping his voice low. He tells you the battle he and his men wage each and every day against a growing criminal element when Twithic is a tiresome one. You learn that the actions he and his soldiers take against their targets must be approved by Thane Porrand. Kenneth says, that's all Thane Porrand means well. Seeking approval of him for every operation they wish to carry out is slowing down any progress they hope to make. I'd just as soon be done with what we signed on for here and move on to more profitable ventures, he says. That's where you come in, Sir Crokington. Kane explains he has a list of several tasks that urgently need to be completed. However, he cannot risk using the troops under his command to carry out the missions. I must have you swear that you will keep what we speak of in strict confidence, says Kedin, his tone grim. I will tell you no more until you have sworn me that. Oh, well, okay, I'll do that, only so I can find out what happens next. I'll swear strict confidence on this matter. Kedin accepts your pledge, and a broad smile replaces his stern demeanour. Let us get down to the business at hand, he says. The topmost chamber of the guard tower in Blade Square. Kedin explains the details of your current mission to you. Kedin tells you his men are involved in a constant struggle in and around Blade Square with a group of thugs led by a man named Cargear. You learn that Cargear is a merchant who runs a trading business of ill repute down by the Wither Docks. According to Kedin, Cardi's thugs have been roughing up both merchants and patrons in Blade Square Market Space over the past several weeks. Had recently grown more bold, even injuring one of Kedin's soldiers. The worst of Kedin's thugs is a man that goes by the name of Katam. Let's get him. Katam is described to you as a tall, balding man with a patch over his left eye. Kedin explains that he wants Katam killed to send a message to Katam and the rest of his men. He tells you that the marketplace in the square closes up just before dawn. Is when Katam and some of the Kadir's other thugs make their rounds, roughing up and harassing the merchants. It would be best if you did not attack him in the open of the square, says Kedin. Report back to me as soon as you've accomplished the task. It is worth 25 gold to you. You to 25 gold to you upon completion, so I can do it now or some other time. I'll do it now. As dusk approaches, you lurk about the marketplace in Blade Square, keeping your eyes peeled for Kadam. Even though this is technically extrajudicial killing, and like super illegal, probably. I mean, if it wasn't, you know, a medieval kingdom where there is there's the law's a bit more flexible. After only a few minutes of watching and waiting, your vigilance is rewarded. Pushing their way through the thinning market crowd is a group of surly, leather-clad men. You recognise the man in the leader's Kadam. He's almost half a foot taller than anyone around him, has a black patch over his left eye. Is that because of a wound, or just because he thinks it looks cool? Honestly, I could go for either. His face is drawn into what seems to be a perpetual sneer. The group pauses by one of the market stands and begins to hassle a young merchant. Hassle a merchant and his young son. Well, we've seen them doing crimes. So it's not just, you know, arbitrary. Kadam becomes belligerent when the merchant refuses to redisplay merchandise he's already packed away for the day. He utters a loud list of obscenities and begins pushing and taunting the frightened man. Fortunately, this is just the opportunity you've been waiting for. Your plan is to lure Kadam into an alley. It's an alley between the Griffin's Legs outhouse and the breadmaker's shop, and deal with him there, out of sight. Your mind races as you move to ponder the best way to go about it. So, I could just rush to the defence of the merchant. Less subtle, but will work, guaranteed. I could shout an insult at Kadam to get his attention. Or I could use the power of illusion, presumably to get his attention, lure him over, and then while he's confused, wait, where did the thing go? I go, stab! Yous are dead! I'm going to use illusion, just because I want to see what happens. We probably saw that when we had this adventure with Zoop, but this is a very early quest, so if you want to see... You want to see what happens with the other options? It's very easy. I would show you all the options, but I forgot to save recently. Silly me. Use illusion. Succeeded. Using the power of illusion, you create a lifelike apparition. Beautiful young woman, and have her appear only steps away from Kadam. Your target's focus shifts from the merchant he's harassing to what he believes to be a young woman showing interest in him. You make the illusion of the young woman smile at Kadam, then move off at a rapid pace towards the alley you've chosen as the place of attack. Predictably, Kadam tells his men to wait while he goes and finds what it was the young lady wanted. The large brute moves off towards the alley, oblivious to the fact that you're following closely behind. He's doomed! Doomed! You move into the alley, less than 20 steps behind Kadam, just in time to hear him gasp in horror as the illusion of the young woman fades into nothingness. As he stands in shock, is back towards the entrance to the alley as he stares dumbfounded at the last place the phantasmal image stood. Okay, he doesn't seem that smart. I mean, this is a world where magic exists. And he must know about illusion. He probably went to the Ring of Illusion. And he probably saw me win that. I don't know if anyone else is... presumably other people took part as well, but we're not quite sure. Yeah, I mean, they must have. It takes you only a split second to seize the opportunity and launch your attack. Katam has been caught off guard by a surprise attack. His melee rating has been decreased for the duration of the fight. Not like that matters, because he's going to be 3+. He's going to be 3+, no, even if I gave him every advantage. Because Sir Croken is just that strong. You're in a fight to the death. You are now in a fight to the death in the back alleys of Trithic. Ketam, begin combat with Ketam. Ketam slashes at you furiously. And I swing at him even more furiously. He is slain. Bye-bye. Maybe you shouldn't have done the crimes. Because now you do it. You do the crimes, you get the debts. Those are the rules that I just made up. Katam slumps to the street, and you quickly haul his bloody corpse to the back of the alley, where it will be concealed by the shadows. Presumably, Kedim will send someone to retrieve it and put it where and put it in the dead criminal hole that the Thane has had dug. has had dug just a little bit off Blade Square. He has it labelled hole to put dead criminals in. Yeah, it's a very big hole. Every couple of hours, another of his mercenaries goes, "Here we go." And he goes, I had to kill this criminal. This guy tried to rob me and said, can I put him in the hole? Of course you can. All dead criminals go in the dead criminal hole. Oh, it's getting a bit full. Oh, dear. Oh. We're going to have to empty it. No. We'll have to dig it deeper. All dead criminals go in the dead criminal hole. That's what the Thane decided. Admittedly, we'll get a bit more space once the ones at the bottom start to rot. Okay, maybe if we swigger more around a bit, they'll settle. Big stick, stir them up. Oh yeah, we got a bit more space now. Quickly, you stoop and examine the body for any useful items and discover some terrible weapons and 7 gold tokens. Fearing that other men could come in search of him at any moment, you promptly leave the alley and slip into the teeming crowd of Blade Square. Alright, okay, I guess I'll... Alright, back to the guard tower. Right. The guard tower serves as one of the stations for the private troops of Thane Pond, whose primary task continues to be the restoration of order to the streets of Trithic. A job that's turning out to be very, very difficult. Although I suspect that you might get more bang for your buck if you invested in social programs rather than just more mercenaries. Well, not to say the mercenaries aren't useful, but, you know, do both. A short iron fence surrounds the guard tower, and the gate is closed. Inside the fence, several guardsmen send about conversing with one another, and now and again take a few moments to scan the crowds that throng Blade Square. Approach the gate. One of the guards recognises you and immediately ushers you through the gate and into the guard tower. Once inside, he leads you up a set of winding stairs to the topmost chamber of the tower. Kedim welcomes you into the chamber, and the guard leaves, closing the door behind himself. You're in the topmost chamber of Blade Square Guard Tower with Kedim. one of the many mercenary leaders whose troops and services have been hired by Thane Pond. I'm successful. I would show you the head, but you never said anything about showing heads, and I really didn't want to kick up a fuss. So, anyway, I'm sure you could send someone to find him if you want confirmation. Announce the success of your mission to Kedin. Kedin nods solemnly and congratulates you on a job well done upon hearing of your mission's success. Let's see if this bit of news makes any impression on Kalgir, says Kedim, as he hands over the gold that was promised you. At any rate, the merchants in Bladescrow will be happy now that Catan won't be making his daily rounds. I've got 25 gold and 16 experience to general. Those are very small rewards because this is a very, very early quest. I'm pretty sure that this quest predates when the GM took on Swith as a full-time business. This section number is only 616. That's ridiculously low. Let's see. Have you got anything else for me to undertake? Nothing right now, says Kedim, for he looks pleased at your eager inquiry. Don't worry, though. I'm working on putting some things together. Check back with me soon, Sir Croakington. There's still much to be done before this city is set back in order. Yeah, I think this is just one of those perpetual loose ends. I mean, at any time the GM could decide, oh yeah, you know that Kedian guy? Yeah, he's got another task for you. I mean, it's an option. Maybe the mysterious VWK could do something with this. You know, just a nice, simple little quest where you, I don't know. I think Kadir, since we haven't been asked to kill Kadir, I assume he's one of those people who has just enough legitimate activity that if we were to kill him, other people would kick up a fuss, and it would destabilise, and it would just be a pain in the arse. So presumably we're going to have to do, I mean, I think he's doing the whole, we'll have to do some sort of get him for tax evasion or something that we can definitely pin on him. So that we can take him down. Which presumably means maybe a quest where we go undercover for a while. And maybe have to do some dubious things to maintain that cover. But anyhow. Or maybe we could just take on some. Do some. You know, just some minor things. Maybe disperse. Disperse some ragamuffins. No. Regular guards could do that. Well, there are options. But for now, it's just a hook you can use or not. It's there. It's an option. It's not a bad thing. There'll be loose ends because having loose ends merely just means you've made a world. Because even if you make another quest, there'll just be another loose end if you do that. So you cannot not have loose ends. Unless you blow up the world. But that's not the sort of thing you can do in a game which is supposed to last forever. So you're going to have loose ends. That's just how it works. Leave the guard tower. Okay. We're at just over half an hour. Okay, time for the Swindler's Den. But first, I'm going to save the game. Oh, and while we're here, let's identify that item we got a couple of episodes back. Use Acarnia. Alright, I found two things. I found a wood icon of demon fire and an axe of fire spirit, which gets me 32 experience to Arcania for identifying them. It's not much, but it all adds up. Oh, I've got enough experience to Arcania to level up. I guess I'll do that. Now it's level 77. That might help in some checks. Because Arcania... No, that wasn't Arcania. That was Archery. I was Archery I just leveled up. No, I don't have enough experience to level up Arcania. But soon. Anyway, let's look at this axe we found. Axe of Fire Spirit. It's got a melee weighting of iron. It raises the spirit by one. Requires two hands because it's a very, very big axe. And has the power of flames. This double-bladed axe, its thick haft engraved with flames, is the weapon you took from the corpse of the Tazzle Mage Gargranak. The very weapon he wielded against you in the ruins of Thalborek. This weapon is of magical quality. You know what? I'm kind of curious what the special power is. You know what? I'm going to equip it just so I can see. Oh, which means I've got to unequip the Glittering Ice Shield. Right. Okay, I'm just going to get into random encounters just to see what the special attack is. Right. I can now see the special attack. Arms of flame reach out from your weapon and envelop your foe for 10 damage. And then I hack at the foe, which just happens to be two giant spiders, which I'm fighting and equipped, which honestly I don't care for. It is slain. Now, since we're in this crypt, this is another one of those areas with just a bunch of random foes to burn your way through. Then you get, I think you get a loot drop and a little bit of experience. There's a special place in this crypt. At the far end of a wide alcove, crowning a tiered dais, is an ornate sarcophagus. Dozens of ghoulish faces adorn the sides of the massive stone object, which serves as the final resting place for some forgotten soul. Okay, open the sarcophagus. Some sort of undead will come out. I'll kill it, and then I'll loot its tomb. I'm almost certain that's what happened. Open the sarcophagus. Oh, as you try as you might, you're unable to budge the weighty stone lid of the sarcophagus. You must clear out the remaining creatures that stalk the halls of the ancient crypt before you will be able to open the sarcophagus.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, this is just one of those too fiery phantasms. Yeah, there's a lot of foes here. You know what? I'm just going to pause while I clear them out, because now that the sarcophagus is there, I want to find out what's in it. You have vanquished the last creature stalking the passages of this ancient crypt. Locate the sarcophagus and open it. If you dare, I do dare. Let's see what's in this sarcophagus. I know it would just be generic loot, but open it. You struggle against the heavy stone-lidded sarcophagus and eventually succeed in pushing it back far enough to reveal that what it has so long protected. What rises out of the open tomb is truly nightmarish. A spectre rises out of the open sarcophagus and stalks across the alcove towards you. Its long arms outstretched as it seeks to invite you into the fold of death. You quickly assume a defensive stance as you prepare to meet the advance of this undead horror. This is a spectre lord. Let us begin combat. It gropes at you because apparently it was very gross when it was alive. And it is slain. 5 XP and 16 XP to general. With the Lord of the Crypt now vanquished, you move over and peer into the open sarcophagus. Alright, and there's some loot. Not even that good. 8 gold tokens, 26 gold tokens. When you are at last certain you haven't overlooked anything, you adjust your equipment and prepare to set out on your way. Well done, Sir Crokington. You've defeated the Lord of the Crypt. You will leave this place confident that an evil that has long wove the halls of this ancient crypt has been forever vanquished, and the world outside is that much safer because of it. Alright, let's get out of here. I can rest there. Okay, now back to my regular equipment, because I was only trying out that axe to see what it does. Okay. Gonna be selling some stuff now, and storing some stuff. Okay, time to do the Swindler's Den, which is an Ochre Stone Mask-inspired adventure by the mysterious VWK. Violent, cruel and greedy are the words that best describe Valgarath the Wretched. Let us begin. And so begins the Swindler's Den. There are tips/notes available for this adventure. There's multiple paths to completion, but we're just going to see one of them. If you want to see the other options, you'll just have to play yourself. Maybe another option was took when Zoop did it. Early morning in a large shack flanking one of the busier piers on Trithix Witherfront, Valgarath, his tremendous fur-clad bulk spilling over the sides of his wobbly chair, into which he's managed to squeeze himself, frowns and shakes his head. He mutters something that sounds like a curse and calls for the two men standing against the wall at his back to come forward. Okay, who is Valgarath? Valgarath the Wretched. Long a repugnant figure in the commerce that transpires and passes through Trithic. The vile, scheming and immensely well-towned merchant known affectionately as Valgarath the Wretched is a figure whose fear-inspired clout is matched only by the dire extent of his unearthly bulk. Before Thane Poroth was granted authority to oversee Trithic, Valgrath and a tight circle of his closest confederates enjoyed almost complete authority over the city, surpassing the power of Trithic's governing power and governing council, and even that of the mighty River Guild. Following Thane Poran's arrival and subsequent disbanding of the city's governing council, I'm not sure about that, but well, it is medieval times. The Thane and the Wither Guild have worked to make certain the influence wielded by Felgarath and his cohort is effectively marginalised. Despite his setback, Felgarath remains a figure of considerable wealth and influence, who continues to ply his various schemes, endeavours and enterprises from behind the thick, moss-covered walls of an old watchtower on the edge of Gowderung's End in Trithic's northern district. Felgarath is a giant of a man who progresses formidable temper, strength, a quick temper and a near impossible girth, and a penchant to resorting to brutal, violent tactics to bending others to his will. Those whose less than scrupulous affairs bring him to contact with Trithic's teeming underbelly are well aware of the fact that many who have won dangerously won afoul of Felgarath have simply disappeared. Alright. Looks like a formidable guy. Not as formidable as he once was, but definitely someone to watch yourself around. As the merchants, leather-clad, sword-wielding enforcers step eagerly to the paymaster's side, your mind begins to race. You've little doubt that Felgarath, incensed by your refusal of his unjust terms, will swiftly resort to the horrific brutality that has long served as the cornerstone of his fearsome reputation. "You're out of chances, friend," snarls the merchants. "You ought to have accepted what I was willing to pay. Now I'll have your carcass tossed out onto the road. And I might just keep what you came here to swindle me over." The fearsome brute scoops up the pouch of glowing stones you presented to him and stuffs them into the outer pocket of his grimy vest. Realizing the situation has likely deteriorated beyond repair, your thoughts retreat to the event that led up to this increasingly unpleasant scene. Starting in media res, you know. Make it exciting. Yesterday, Blade Square, Trithic. It was late yesterday afternoon, while passing through Blade Square, when you were approached by a young woman and a man apparently serving as a personal guard. A man you might have mistaken for a small ogre under different circumstances. The woman, who had more than once refused to reveal her identity, beseeched you to take possession of a pouch of glowing stones, enter Gladorung's End, and seek out the infamous and reviled Felgarath. It was her expressed hope that the nefarious merchant would be willing to pay a substantial sum of gold for the enchanted rock. She must be pretty desperate if that's her only option. "They're worth much more than I'll ever get for them," the young woman told you. "But I can't afford to tell you at this point. Please, take them to Felgarath and see what he'll give you for them." These are the sorts of things he can readily turn into gold. A great deal of gold. "They're bound to fetch the 4,000 gold I'm seeking for them. I dare not go to Felgarath myself, though. It wouldn't be safe, yet, as we've just seen. I was told that you might do it by half. And you wouldn't fear someone like Felgarath, that you could be trusted. I'd pay you, of course." realizing the woman is quite likely in some sort of dire trouble and in desperate need of gold, you agree to a proposal. You would take the pouch of stones to Valgraf and see what the vile scoundrel would give you for them. She quickly offered you 200 gold as payment, promising you half now and the rest when you returned with payment from Valgraf. How did you react to her offer? So, I could accept what she offered, counter for more gold, or just refuse to accept payment. You know what? I'm refusing to accept payment. That leaves her not legally in debt, but that leaves her psychologically in debt. Which is honestly worse, because you never, if it's a legal debt, you know when you've paid it off. Because it clearly states, if you do this, the debt is cleared and you're free. But when it's a psychological debt, you're never quite sure. You're never quite sure if you paid it, or is there something else I should do? So actually, it might be better for her psychologically to pay me some gold. I'll just make sure that I get a lot more gold than that. So I'm going to accept what she offered. Or maybe I'm just thinking, of course, if I cared about any money, I could ask for more of that. But I don't care about that. Because it's very, very easy for an adventurer to get gold. I got 5,000 gold from just these random stuff that I sold. Sold from a couple of adventures where I wasn't even particularly seeking gold. You accepted what she offered. A look of profound relief washes over the young woman's face when you accept the terms of the task. She immediately told her imposing companion to pay you 100 gold tokens. Then, after thanking you, she asked that you meet her at the nearby Well of Blades when the job was done. She reminds you the stone should be worth at least 4,000 gold to Valgraf, though she promised to be grateful for whatever you could reasonably obtain for them. You assured her that you would see to it that Valgraf paid a fair sum for the gold, before taking your leave of the mysterious pair and heading off in the direction of Grauderung's End, seeking the whereabouts of its most notorious denizen. For the better part of the day, you scoured Grauderung's End, prowling the streets of Trithic's most perilous quarter, seeking out anyone who might know where to find Valgraf, or any clue that would point you in the direction of the vile knave. At last, trusting a ragged bit of information you gleaned from a scattered conversation with the hopeless drunk outside one of the End's more notorious alehouses, you set off for the Witherfront, hoping to find the great scoundrel lying low, conducting his unscrupulous affairs from a shack saddled up to one of the main piers. Just after dawn on the day following your excursion into Gowderung's End, that you located the Witherfunk shack to which you had been directed. Much to your elation, Valgraf himself was present inside the dilapidated hut and seemed eager to have a look at the pouch of stones. Needless to say, however, negotiations over the proper price for the young woman's pouch of enchanted stones have not gone exceedingly well. The dire present. Valgraf snaps his fingers. I would snap my fingers myself, but I'm not good at that. And his two men step forward, brandishing their cool blades in an obvious anticipation of carrying out the vile merchant's bidding. Suddenly, the foul swindler rises from his chair and again snaps his fingers. The sharp, echoing clack of the master's well-practiced gesture draws both of his guards to an immediate halt. They glance fearfully at one another, before each of them takes a step back. No. Leave this worm to me, he says, sneering, as he steps out from behind the table on which he was seated. Wait outside. We've some negotiations to conclude. Without a word, the merchant's two guards turn and exit the shack, leaving you alone with a fearsome, unpredictable man whose legendary rage is equaled only by his inhuman might. Strength that some say, some dare to say, rivals a young ogre. Unwilling to be bullied by the frightening brute, you place your hands on your hips and allow your defiant gaze to meet the chilling stare of a man no stranger to murder. What shall we do about this little impasse of ours? Muses the vulgar behemoth as he steps to the front of the table and places his hands on his hips, seemingly mimicking your stance. Much to his surprise, he apologised for having referred to you as a worm. Mine is a profession sullied by false grievance, lest you should have other less truthful ideas. I'm a fair man, above all. Quite honestly, I only seek peace and profit. Obtaining one without the other is, as I see it, something of a waste. Would you agree? Volgraf tells you he's willing to pay you 1,000 gold for the stones, doubling his original offer of 500. He gently pats the outside of his vest, seemingly keen to remind you he still possesses the pouch. As you contemplate your next move, you are reminded the young woman, whose stones they are, believes them to be worth at least 4,000 gold to Velgraf, a price you already attempted, but failed to attain. So, I have some options here. I can continue to bargain with Velgraf, accept his offer, demand he return the pouch of stones, or just take back the stones. What shall I do? I'll use random.org. What? Random.org said accept the offer. I'm not doing that. Gonna roll again. Alright, apparently I'm going to demand he return the pouch of stones. You boldly demand that Velgraf return to you the pouch of stones, now tucked into the outside pocket of his vest. The notorious fat swindler frowns and shakes his head. I think not, he snarls. I'll give you one last chance to leave here with more than you came in, and only one. My offer stands at 1,000 gold. I suggest you lend it special consideration. Realizing you've been threatened by a man long suspected of having murdered by his own hand numerous rivals and enemies, you hurriedly ponder your next move. So I can continue to bargain. I mean, maybe I'll be able to figure out some sort of rhetorical trick or guilt or something to get more money. Or I can accept his offer, which I'm not going to do. I said I'd get 4,000 gold, and I am going to get 4,000 gold. Or I could take back the pouch of stones. Alright, so I'm not, as I said, I'm not doing the second. Accepting his offer isn't possible, so I'm going to randomly choose 1 to 2. 2's okay. I'll take back the pouch of stones. You hurriedly decide upon a course of action that you hope will result in you taking back the pouch of stones from the vile swindler. Alright, I've got lots of options. I accept his offer. I can attempt to subdue Velgraf. Presumably, just killing him is not an option because he's just too tied into how the city works that removing him would just cause absolute chaos, which is not the sort of thing I should do, at least not without talking with Thane Porin first. So my options as well as subduing, my options are archery, telekinesis, elementalism, shadow magic, conjuration, thievery, and illusion. So that's a grand total of 8 different options that I can choose, including the subduing, generate, going for option number 6. So that makes thievery the option I shall choose. I successfully used it, 4 XP to thievery. When you tell Volkra, if you're not seeking any trouble, and you will gladly accept his offer of 1,000 gold, the merchant seems to greet your pronouncement with mild scepticism. Hoping to bolster the authenticity of your stated claim, you step forward, looking to initiate a scolder cross with the notorious swindler. He hesitates for just a moment before suddenly nodding and moving up to meet you in your respectful gesture. He never feels your skillful fingers slip into the front pocket of his vest and relieve him of the pouch of glowing stones. Volgroff immediately summons one of his numerous underlings, a thin, balding man, seemingly nervous in the presence of his bulky superior, shuffles off into the shack and regards you with an icy stare as the hefty trader orders him to fetch your gold. Nothing like a bit of fair business, or it's not so fair, conducted by honourable folk. Not so honourable, says Velgroff again, patting the pocket of the vest into which the pouch of stones is tucked. And he didn't even notice then. Did I slip something similar feeling inside? Yeah, probably. I am a what kind of feeth again? What level of feethery? I am a... Let's see, a master thief. A master thief, after all. So presumably I'll be able to handle a little something like that. Hurry up, Girthby. Our friend here doesn't have to wait. Doesn't have through the next moon to wait out your lag. Girthby, whose name was so unceremoniously revealed, scurries with Tay and returns a few moments later with the gold. After first looking to Velgroff and receiving a curt nod, the thin, nervous man hands over the payment to you. 1,000 gold. And let us continue with something to take away the mornings, says Velgroff, dismissing his loyal minion with a casual wave and fetching a bottle of root wine. I don't mean to assume, of course. How about it? Fancy a bit of the jitters? With no desire to linger in Valgroth's presence, lest you discover the pouch is missing, you politely decline his offer. Valgroth shrugs, pours himself a vessel of root wine, holds the cup as if saluting you, and promptly drowns the spirit. The infamous swindler then escorts you out of the shack, pausing on the threshold to bid you farewell. I know who and what you are, he says, the sudden admission catching your guard. Oh, that's not surprising. There isn't anything that goes on around here that I don't have a hand in, or a set of eyes and ears upon. You've done quite well for yourself, there's no denying that. I don't know at whose behest you sought me out, but it was wise to do so. I'm apt to be interested in magical trinkets and the sort. After all, they're not hard to dispose of. Volgraf looks out across the pier and frowns, apparently having taken notice of something that threatens to sour his deposition. Matters to attend to. Nothing more, he says, shaking his head. Before you go, let me just be clear on this point, friend. Today you came seeking me, and I was able to help you. Tomorrow, year from now, but about steps a week, I might have reason to seek you out. Now that I understand, we can come to sensible arrangements. Now go, and be merry, for the sky portends a fair day. You bid Velgroff farewell before turning and heading back from the Witherfront. After a few moments, you glance back and spot the bulky merchant making his way along the edge of the pier. His attention apparently fixed on a small boat, now being tied off by its three-man crew. After breathing a warranted sigh of relief, you quickly check to make sure the pouch of stones is still in your possession before quickly setting off on your way. As you make your way through the walking streets of the Adderstone, an unsettled feeling comes over you. Several times you look back over your shoulder, half expecting to discover some dark figure slinking along the edge of the lane in pursuit. Never once, however, did you find any evidence suggest you've been followed. Despite this, you prudently adopt a meandering route that takes you across a vast stretch of the city, before at last resuming a direct course for Blade Square. You reach Blade Square and find the young woman and her burly companion waiting for you, as promised by the Well of Blades. She appears grateful for your help, and seems genuinely taken aback when you sent her with both the pouch of stones and the 1,000 gold paid you by Velgrath. When she inquired about how you managed to return with the stones and the gold, you provide an accurate but abbreviated account. "Shouldn't pry too much," she says, smiling and shaking her head. "I should never allow myself to hope for such an outcome. Thank you." You give her the 1,000 gold paid you by Velgrath, and she promptly provides you with the remainder of the payment, so that's 100 gold for me. "I could probably find someone else to whom I can sell these," she says. "I believe Velgrath was a good wager, but it seems his foul reputation is well earned. You at least got him to part with a good bit of gold. I'm sure there's someone who could use the stones. They're luck stones, bound to help their possessor find good fortune. Thank you for your help. I truly appreciate all you've done." Realizing the young woman, for reasons she hasn't made clear, is seemingly desperate for gold, and having learned that the stones are enchanted with magic that will supposedly improve one's luck, you contemplate purchasing them for yourself, for the amount she originally specified. 4,000 gold. Yeah, let's do that. Purchase the stones for 4,000 gold. When you tell her you'd like to purchase the stones, for what she considers their proper value, 4,000 gold, the young woman is momentarily lost for words. Ultimately, she nods emphatically and tells you she would gladly sell them to you. You promptly pay her, and she hands you the pouch of glowing stones. That's 4,000 gold gone, but you'll be back soon enough. I mean, it's really only 3,800 gold gone, because I got 200 gold for doing the quest. So I now have a pouch of glowing stones. These have an encumbrance of what? This small pouch contains 12 polished stones of various shapes and sizes. Each stone emits a faint blue glow. The woman from whom you purchased the pouch claims the stones are luck stones imbued with magic that will improve the luck of anyone who carries them. Now, whether they actually do anything is a mystery, because it's not like that item we got a bit back at the Lakeshore Tavern, which just plus one luck. So if they do anything, and honestly I have no idea whether they do, it's a subtle behind the scenes effect. "I haven't even considered that you'd be interested in them," she says. I might have saved you a bit of trouble with Velgrath. Thank you again. You've given me what I need to remove a most onerous burden." You spend a few minutes conversing with the young woman, all the while resisting the urge to inquire about her name and the nature of the dilemma which prompted her to seek your help. When you begin to sense that she and her companion may be growing nervous, and perhaps eager to be on their way, you bid her farewell and wish her luck on whatever lies ahead. She steps forward, meets you on the shoulder cross, and again thanks you. Then, with a hastened step, she turns and slips off through the street, in the shadow of her imposing protector, heading in the direction of the city gates. As you watch her depart, you pray that the nameless woman, a person who remains in every way a mystery for you, will find safety, and perhaps no peace of mind, on whatever or wherever her road next leads her. So that gets me 256 experience to general, 16 XP to all skills and powers, and finishes the quest. And that is that for this adventure, so... So that no new adventures were unlocked by doing that. So Valgroth the Wretched is neither seeking revenge, because I defrauded him, or my services. But that's it's just one of those things that's a maybe. So what shall we do next? The next episode. I don't think there's any more little quests left in Twithic. I mean, I might find some. Might bump into one, but I don't think there is. So what to do next? Well, there's three clearable dungeons I can buy at Aquan the Map Maker. Maybe I'll do those. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.